Amen. We started a series entitled Positioned to Success. Positioned to Succeed. Positioned for Success. How many of you know God wants you to be successful in every area of your life? That's the reason the Bible says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 8, God told Joshua, Joshua, this is how you succeed. This is how you will have good success. He said, meditate in my word. Get my word on the inside of you. And then he said this. Now watch this, because this is so vitally important. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have great success. The reason God said that is because God says once you get the word on the inside of you, it's going to get in your heart, and then once it's in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. And then God says, I'll watch over my word. I watch over my word to perform it in the book of Jeremiah. So when we're talking about position and success, last week we were talking about in 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, and we started going through, beginning with verse 6. Way before we got to resisting the devil, we got to the very first part of that, and it said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And we talked about being positioned in humility, and humility does not mean or equate to weakness. Okay, humility is basically this. Humility is obedience to God's word. Humility is me submitting my will underneath the will of God. In other words, not my will, but your will be done. Because the moment you got born again and you received Jesus as the Lord of your life, you died to your old self. And Jesus became the Lord of your life. In other words, you died to self and you received Jesus as the Lord of your life. And in receiving Jesus as the Lord of your life, you're saying, I'm not just going to heaven. Thank God, that's a great benefit of being born again. But listen to me. But the benefit is that the moment I get born again, I am surrendering and yielding myself to the will of God. How do I know the will of God? The will of God is His word. He's given us His word. And so that's the reason that in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So I know the will of God through the Word of God. So today, we want the will of God in our life so that we can position ourselves for success. So to do that, not only do you position yourself in humility, because humility is motivated by love. Because the Bible says, if I love God, I will obey Him. So humility is motivated by love. So today we want to talk about being positioned in love. We found out that we are positioned in Christ Jesus, but the Bible tells us that love is the greatest thing. It says, desire all the gifts, nothing wrong with the gifts, but He said the greatest thing is love. Amen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And like I said, love is an action verb. So why is it important for us to be positioned in love? 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 8. We shout for God's word. Very simply, it says this. Love never fails. Love never fails. How many of you would like to be able to stand up and give testimony, I've never failed? That would be an awesome testimony, right? Well, the Bible is very clear here. Love never fails. But let me ask you this. Who does this describe? It describes God. That's what you've got to understand. Who is He? God is love. Listen to 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 7 and 12. And by the way, whatever religious mindset that you have been given or you've been taught, I want you to turn that sucker off. I want you to put it on mute, and I want you to listen to what the Word of God says. Amen? Everybody has opinions. Everybody can teach certain things, but what does God, what does the Word say? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I love you. Amen. Beloved, let me say it again. Beloved, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Notice this, it didn't say God has love. There's a difference in having something and being it. Amen? I have a bottle of water. As I drink it, it's going to run out and it has to be refilled. But if I held that up and said, I am water, that's a whole different statement. I have some water, or I am water. God says, I don't have love, I am love. So his love is not like a thermostat. He doesn't run out of it. He doesn't say, man, I'm worn out today, I don't have any more love to give. So then he goes on. Now watch this, because love is an action verb. Love does not just say, I am love. Love will prove that I am loved. So here's what he says in verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In other words, God, who is love, has action behind his love. And praise God, we were the recipients of that. So he said, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Man, you've got to understand this. You've got to see this. This will change your life. When you were the worst of all sinners, turn to somebody and say, I know he's talking about you right now. Some of you like that too much. So he said, in this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us when we were in sin. Everything that we were involved in and doing that was hellacious, horrific, all kind, destroying ourselves, hurting people, doing all kinds of stuff. Do you realize that in that God loved you? He didn't love what you were doing, but he loved you. And he knew that if he could get inside of you, then he could teach you and show you what love really is. That's the reason he found you and you didn't find him. That's the reason that people come here every single Sunday, and they come, and is God really real, or can he help me, or will he forgive me? Is it really true? And the answer is yes. There is not another religion in the world that tells you that God is love. You ask anybody in any religion to describe their God, they will never mention love. This is the only place that you find that the God who created us is love, and he loved us. And he doesn't just talk about it, he does things about it. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent, there's the word sent again, sent his Son to be the propitiation, that means an atonement, a sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, this is what he expects for us. Two things, that we are to love him and love our neighbor as ourselves, and to love others. So he said, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God loves, abides in us, and his love has been perfected or matured in us. Now that word perfected there, which means it's maturing, we're coming to an understanding of that, is the same word that you find that when it deals, when he talks about the spirit of fear, he said, perfect love casts out fear, casts out fear. In other words, when I understand how much God loves me, when I understand what he's done for me, when I understand how he sees me and how he views me and how he treats me and who he is, man, when fear comes, it's history. It's history. I won't allow it to stay in my life. So now here's the thing we have to ask ourselves. What are the characteristics of the love of God that causes failure to become obsolete? It's found in 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, verses 4 and 10. Listen to this. Now, by the way, this is a description of God himself. Ready for this? Love suffers long. Love suffers long. God doesn't look at my mistakes and your mistakes and say, you know what, that's enough. That's it. You're out of here. He doesn't do that. Love suffers long. God will put up with a lot of goofy people. God will put up with a lot of bad people. Think about how long he put up with you before you got saved. But he never gave up on you. Even though it hurts to see one of his children acting in a way that is the opposite of love, because he loved us so much and put Jesus on the cross for us, and to see us treat one another badly, hatred, prejudice, racism, that hurts him because of what he's done for us. So he says, love suffers long and is kind. God is kind. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't know what you have heard about God or what you think about God. This will turn your theology upside down. So he says, love does not envy. We don't need to envy one another. When somebody is blessed by God, let's get excited about it. Instead of, well, I've been praying for that all these years, and I'm going to listen to me. Don't envy what other people have. When you start envying other people, you're going to lose sight in who you are. If you start envying other people and want to become like them, then what you've done is you have given away your identity and who God created you to be. Don't envy other people. Don't be jealous of them. The Bible says love does not parade itself. Only the men know what I'm talking about there. It does not parade itself. In other words, a parade is to show off. A parade is to present something where people can see you and it's all about you. Love does not parade itself. Love just goes about its business. It's not envious. It's not jealous. It does what it's supposed to do. And whoever gets the credit, love just keeps right on moving. Just keeps right on moving. Love does not even look at for the credit. Can you imagine what the body of Christ could achieve and accomplish if nobody wanted the credit? And when I say that, it doesn't mean that we don't work for good causes. What I love about being in a military town is how you can talk to a military man and woman and say, thank you for your service. And I'm telling you, humility will come that fast. Thank you, sir, but that's what I do. Thank you very much. No, not looking for the credit. Even though they're out there with the uniform all the time. And yet at the same time, love will pursue right. Will pursue justice. Will pursue the things that will help other people. When you see people standing up for a cause and helping other people, it's because they see something. God has shown them something. And they see it. And God says, I want you to address that. But always remember this, that when you address it, you speak the truth in love. So he says, it is not puffed up. You know, the Bible tells us that knowledge puffs up. You can have all the knowledge in the world and be like a Pharisee. You can be religious and hateful and have all kinds of scripture and speak scripture and say all kinds of things, but you can still be mean and hateful. That's not the love of God. The reason that I desire knowledge and to read the Word of God and have knowledge is not so that I can say, look at me. It is because I want to feed it to people. I want to help people. I want to give it to people and say, this is what God has done with me all of these years, and let me help you. I had a pastor the other day come up, and he said, I understand y'all have some manuals concerning each one of your ministries and that you've put together for training and things of that nature. And I said, yes, we do. And he said, is there any possibility that I could get some of that? And he said, have you? Is it copyrighted or can I change it? And I said, no, it's not copyrighted. Not copyrighted at all. I said, if it is copyrighted, it's copyrighted by the Holy Spirit. I said, no, everything we have is for you to use. God gave it to us, we give it away. We do whatever we can to help you. Yes, absolutely, you can have it. It says, it's not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Now I want to address this because we're coming off the fast, and so many of you are going to buffets today. You're going to other places and restaurants. You're going to act like you hadn't eaten in... But honestly, let me say this. This is where I see the most rudeness from Christians. Tave and I have actually had waitresses and waiters tell us that the worst day for them to wait on people is Sunday after church. That to me is the worst reputation. That's the worst statement that anybody could give. When we come out of church, we should be at least the nicest people on the planet. Unless you go to a church where somebody is mean and beats you up, then you're going to go out and beat other people up. Amen? So the Bible says, do not behave rudely. Then it says, do not, it does not seek its own, is not provoked. Now listen to this, thinks no evil. Who is this a description of? God, because God is love. And here's what it says, love, and then it gives these characteristics of love. So listen to this, love thinks no evil. It doesn't mean that evil thoughts cannot come into your mind, but what are you supposed to do with evil thoughts that come into your mind? Cast them down. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 and 5. Rebuke them, cast them down, and replace them with good thoughts. Matter of fact, in Philippians, the 4th chapter, it says, meditate on these things, and it gives you a whole list of things of what we should be meditating on. So the Bible says, God thinks no evil. Now, this will twist your theology. Because so many people think that God's thinking bad thoughts about them. And thinking that the bad that has come in their life somehow is come from God. You need to read James, the first chapter, beginning with verse 13. The Bible says in James, the half-brother of Jesus said this, let no one say when he's tempted and tried with evil, let no one say that God did this, because he says God can test and try no one with evil. So let me kick over a sacred cow, okay? So if God thinks no evil and God does not put evil or He does not tempt or try or test people with evil. Let me ask you one question. Is sickness and disease evil? Absolutely it is. God didn't put that on you. Because if you ever start thinking that God is against you, you will not ever pray in faith. You will succumb yourself to all circumstances and just give up and give in. So love thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, because God can only work in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. This is where people, theologians and denominations, this is where they say that, see, tongues have passed away. They don't exist anymore. Okay, well, let's read the whole scripture. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Has knowledge vanished away? If it has, I have no idea what I'm up here for right now and what I'm doing. I have no idea. If knowledge has passed away, then why does God give us the word? So knowledge has not passed away, neither has the prophetic passed away, and neither has speaking in tongues passed away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect is come, they say, well, that's when the Bible was written. The Bible is the perfect. No. If that was the case, we don't need knowledge. There is, when the perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. What is the perfect? The perfect is when you get to heaven. You're not going to need the Bible. You will know the Bible because you will have the Son of God. You will be in heaven where everything is known and everything is perfect. So, if you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues like on the day of Pentecost, like it's in the Bible over and over again, you are missing an incredible gift. You do not have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. You do not have to prophesy to go to heaven. You don't have to operate in the gifts to go to heaven. It is a blessing that God gives us with power. It's just amazing. So, when we look at all of these characteristics right here, is it possible for us to love like this, or is this a ridiculous expectation of any human being? By the way, let me show you something that literally changed my life. Changed the way that I treated my wife. Changed the way that I treated people, employees, and others. This is long before we came to Fayetteville. When I realized that I had some goofy stuff in me that I had grown up with, and I began to say this, because this is what the Lord directed me. I started saying, Father, I thank you that Al suffers long and is kind. Al does not envy. Al does not parade himself and is not puffed up. Al does not behave rudely. Al does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Therefore, Al will not fail. And then I said, Holy Spirit, help me to walk in love just like this. Every single day I would say this. I would speak this over myself. I would hear what I say. And the Bible says my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I was literally speaking those words, writing on the tables of my heart. And I began to change. All of a sudden, I saw myself more merciful, because I used to say this. Well, you know, I'm just black and white because I'm prophetic. That's a cop-out, because that is not in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And as the more that I spoke this over my life, and I was intentional in doing it, my wife is sitting right there. She can tell you that this thing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, changed me. Because I was a very type A, aggressive individual. You know, get on board with me or get off. Go where I'm going or just find another boat. I know I'm the only one in this church like that. And by the way, what I'm saying has no gender. It can be man and woman. Amen? So, but when I begin to say this and I begin to speak this, Because a lot of people think, if I do this, people are going to take advantage of me. Of course they are. They're going to hurt me. Of course they are. Where are you living? I'd rather open myself up and have people to do things that I can forgive them of and keep right on going and walking in love, because in that love comes joy and peace and satisfaction and fullness. And in ministry, when you open your heart up and you want to bless everybody, there are going to be people to take advantage of you. There are going to be people say all kinds of things about you. And what do? Once you understand love, you forgive them and keep right on trucking. There's too many people out there for you to influence, and too many people need you. And love opens itself up to, I want to serve God. I want to serve people. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come in this world to be served. I came to serve. And if you're going to do that, you're going to be offended. You're going to be hurt. And so that's when you say, Father, forgive them. Yes, it hurts. Yes, you don't like it, but I forgive them and keep on moving forward. There are too many people that need to be blessed and helped for me to pull back in my house and pull away from everything and say, I'm not messing with them anymore. So it says, so is it possible for that? If you are a born-again believer, this is a reality. But it takes time. When you look at a fruit on a tree, that fruit does not manifest overnight. Even though everything that the tree needs to produce the fruit is inside the tree. It's all there because it was all residing inside the seed that was present. And now it's inside the tree. And because the seed had everything in it to produce the fruit, it will produce fruit. It's going to be. An orange seed is going to produce an orange. An apple seed is going to produce an apple. A gorilla seed is going to produce a gorilla, not a human being. We do not pray, our Father who are up in a tree. Matter of fact, we're created in God's image. We're the only ones that have the creativity of God. You have never heard a bird saying to another bird, a male bird saying to a female bird, I am tired of this stick nest. I want an A-frame next spring. You have never heard a gorilla saying to a female gorilla saying to a male gorilla, hey, you're going to take me to rooms to go. I'm going to decorate this jungle. I am tired of living like this. And by the way, I want something other to eat than just bananas. You've never seen that. Listen to me. We're the only ones that have the creativity of God. The life of God that brings creativity, new things, inventions. No animal does that. So we could not have come from an animal. It can only come from a God that is a creative God. So what you have to do is allow yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit. You want to operate in this love? You want to walk in this love? That should be your desire. And if we do that, then we have to be led by the Spirit. We have to renew our mind with the Word of God. And then if I do that, because if I take the seed of God's Word and put it on the inside of me, then it's going to produce after its kind. The tree is rooted and grounded and gets its nourishment just like we are. And the Bible says we are to be rooted and grounded in love. That's Colossians 3:17. But listen to 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 22 and 23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. We are to love on fire. We are to love with passion. We are to love fervently one another. That's the way God loves us. It's a fire love. It's a passionate love. It's a fervent love. So he says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. You're not serving one another, or you're not loving one another with a motive. An ulterior motive for, I'm going to love them so I can get something out of them. So if you're a Christian and a young man or a young woman, you should not be trying to love, and I'm not talking about the love, God kind of love, the agape kind of love. I'm talking about the eros kind of love, which is where we get our word erotic from. But you should not try to love somebody just so you can go to bed with them. That's not love, that's lust. If you're going to love somebody the way God loves them, then if you start dating them, it says that you're very serious about this probably, or this may be my wife, or this may be my husband. You're not doing it trying to satisfy some passion and lust on the inside of you. You're loving them because they respect them. And then if you start dating and it just doesn't work out, you don't leave church and go to some other church. And then don't get down and start praying and going, oh, God, I can't believe they rejected me and they didn't like me and they didn't want me and, oh, I'm so hurt and it's going this. And then if you hear the voice of God, God said, excuse me, just a minute. Did you not pray that if this was not my will, that I would intervene and stop it? Uh-huh. Okay, I did. Okay, but did you see what they put on Facebook? Okay, get over it. Forgive. Move on. Amen? So watch this. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. What is living on the inside of you? You were born again by the seed of God's word. Am I correct? By the seed of God's word. Listen to Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 22. This, and what is the fruit? What is the first fruit that is produced in your life that is listed here? Love. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Fruit, what kind of fruit comes? First, love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Man, it's the same thing we were reading a while ago. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Listen to Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That word poured out is like Victoria Falls in Africa. The love of God has been poured in our hearts. Can we love like God? Absolutely. Listen to this. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself. Notice that he's loved us. And when you truly love, you're constantly giving. You're not, love doesn't look for other people just to give to them. Love is giving. You want to get healed of depression? You want to get healed of oppression? Start giving of yourself. Start finding somebody you can help. Places you can serve. You start doing helping people. It'll cure all of that, because the joy will rise up. Can we love the way God loves? Yes. Listen to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 13. For it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. You can do this. We can do this if we desire. God, help me to love the way you love. Help me to love my brother and my sister. And by the way, love comes in all colors and is for all colors. God is the one who created us with color. Well, not us white folks. We just white bread. We get in the sun trying to get some color. But God created us. He all created us different colors. But our blood is the same. And we've got to realize that what the world is looking for is to see us loving one another. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the world will know you're my disciples, not by your political status, not by where you walk and what you believe, but by your love for one another. Any organization or anything that takes you out of walking with love toward your brother and your sister is not of God. You listen to what I'm saying. Listen to this. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 9 and 11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother, that means love less, is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. You don't want to stumble? You don't want to fall? Start loving your brother and sister. It says this, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You don't want to walk in darkness because you will trip, you will fall, you will stumble, you will fail. You've got to walk in the love of God that abides on the inside of you. Can you say amen? Amen? Did you get anything out of this? Yes. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give God praise. Amen. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes because I want to pray over you right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that love comes in all colors. And Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, teach us to walk in your love that abides on the inside of us. Teach us to walk in you. Let us be led by your Spirit. And Father, let the world see that we truly are Christians because we love one another. And everybody said, amen. Amen.